non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Proverbs 24:10-12. What is up, everyone? How's it going? Joy?
Good. Hello.
It's just Joy and I today, and a special guest who I'll introduce in a minute. This is a very special episode. Actually, Pastor Jeff's on his way to Pennsylvania right now for our rally to end abortion in Harrisburg, which is on Saturday. We've been advertising that, so hopefully you guys, if you're in the area, got that info and you can come help support that. So it's just Joy and I today, and my new friend, Davis, who I'll bring on in a minute. So if you didn't see what's been going on here, the last week has been absolutely insane, with some opportunities that God's, blessed us with, an opportunity to help, our brothers and sisters who are serving in the military. Specifically, this started with, some brothers that are Navy SEALs. And I'm going to keep it as vanilla as possible, and omit names and locations because those that we're helping at the moment want to remain anonymous. But the point is that they're being forced to take Pokey McPokerson or risk being ejected from the military, or at least losing their rating and stuff. And as we're finding out, this is pretty widespread, and so it's been crazy this week. We've been getting emails and messages like crazy. But all that to say, I'm going to, just to kick the show off, I'm going to play a clip here from an interview on Tucker Carlson this week with our friend Davis here, and then I'm going to bring him in. So we'll just start the show off with this interview. It's a couple minutes, and then we'll get right into it. So go ahead, Matt, and start that video.
You'll notice, by the way, in the case of the Navy SEALs and more broadly the U.S. military, that none of the members of Congress who claim to care so much about the military, they talk about it all the time, defense hawks like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and so many others, none of these people have said a single word about any of this. They have not risen to defend these guys because they don't care. So it's left to men like Davis Yonce to fight for these Navy SEALs. Yonce is an Air Force Reserve officer. He's a lawyer. He's representing a number of the Navy SEALs in question. He joins us tonight. Davis, thanks so much for coming on tonight. So did we misstate any of that? You have hundreds, apparently, of Navy SEALs who will leave a force that's only about 2,500 men very soon over these COVID vaccine mandates, correct?
That's absolutely right. And I want to say thank you on behalf of my clients for bringing this to the attention of the American people. We need their help. My clients are Christian men. They're men of faith. Their faith informs every decision that they make. And really what they need is more time. The way this is being rolled out to to my clients and many other members in the military is arbitrary. They're being given these really tight deadlines. They just don't have time to explore all the options and the rights. And the worst of it is they're being told you're going to go into a non-deployable status if you don't do this. And I think, and my clients strongly believe, that is going to impact military readiness.
I don't think it should surprise any of us that the Navy SEALs are first on the list to be targeted. It's an all-male force. I don't know anything about their voting records or even if they vote, but they're exactly the kind of people, if you were planning to control the military for political purposes, you would want gone. Do they feel singled out? I know this is military-wide, but it seems like they're being pressed especially hard, especially early.
I think that's accurate. I think my clients in particular, some of my clients are Navy SEALs. They are a very small part of a much larger group of Navy SEALs that feel that way. I also have clients that are fighter pilots that feel like they've been forced into the same situation. These are arbitrary deadlines. They don't make sense, and they're being given conflicting guidance across the military. And these men are not alone. My clients want the American people to know there are thousands of military members across the formation that feel the same way. And my clients, as Christian men, informed by their faith, love their neighbor. They dedicate their lives. They sacrifice their lives to protect innocent life. That's what they're about. And they want this story brought to attention. They want help for the rest of the military. This isn't about them. They're quiet professionals, Tucker. That's what they do. My clients don't want to be famous. They don't want to have books written about them. Do their job and serve this country. And they're willing to step out in front because of all the other military members that are out there that don't have a platform like this.
This has nothing to do with medicine or science or COVID. And anyone who says otherwise is a moron or a liar. This is about changing the nature of the force, period. And I hope that you can stop it. And I hope that members of Congress wake up immediately and join you in that. Davis Yonts, appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Davis, what's up, brother?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. It's been busy, huh?
Absolutely. We have been overwhelmed with the number of calls and emails, people wanting to help in any way they can, volunteers, attorneys and paralegals wanting to volunteer to help us out, and military members all over the world reaching out, hundreds and hundreds reaching out for help.
Amazing. So why don't you just take a couple minutes, tell everyone who you are, what you're up to, and your involvement in this, and then I'm going to tell the story of how all this came together, which is completely God.
Great. Yeah, so my background is active duty Air Force. I went to Liberty University for undergrad, went to law school. 9/11 happened when I was in law school, and that kind of solidified my determination to serve in the military in some capacity. So I started out in the Air Force as a JAG. I did that on active duty for 11 years. Deployed, did a lot of fun things. Got to teach at the Air Force JAG School, where I was chief of the Military Justice Division. And I still serve in the Air Force Reserves. I have 19 years of service in. And all I do on my civilian side, I have my own law firm now, and I represent military members primarily, and that can be all over the world. And that's how my name came up, to help these Navy SEALs and our clients out that we're talking about today.
Yeah, right on, man. I've known Davis, I guess, a week. What did we meet? Friday. A week ago Friday, yeah. So we've known each other just under a week, and it's been a whirlwind. I'll tell quick brief story how this kind of came together, but basically I had a friend that's a pastor contact me in beginning of July, kind of made us aware of some of this stuff that was going on. I wasn't really sure how it was going to shake out, and then I think Pastor Jeff actually talked to that pastor and one of these SEALs while I was on my sabbatical, so like late July or something like that, and then when we were in Nashville, we actually got a chance to sit down with them and meet them. So that was just 2 weeks ago. We sat down with them, got to talk and figure out what's going on, and we were like,
2 weeks ago already, huh?
Yeah, already.
Wow.
We were like, hey, we gotta do something. So we literally in a week we threw together a meeting with these guys. Again, and I won't disclose the location, but it happened very quickly, and I'll say it involved a lot of unnecessary travel for Pastor not to get the one location. No direct flights, it just makes it impossible. But we were able to throw it together and like just God's been driving this situation completely where, we contacted some of our friends that have been a part of this, Zach Lautenschlager and Bradley Pierce. And then Bradley's the one that was like, hey, actually, I know a JAG lawyer I've been working with on some other cases. His name's Davis, and I asked him if he'd be interested in participating, and it just so happened that Davis was already in going to be in the location where we were planning on meeting. And so we met last week, had an amazing whole day meeting. And I got to give credit to Davis because he like threw together this ridiculous agenda and like paperwork where I was like, holy smokes, how did you do that so quickly? It was incredible. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm stoked. It's a crazy time we're in. It's a crazy situation. But like just God's hands are all over this thing, and it's exciting and thrilling, but also terrifying at the same time.
Absolutely.
So we actually, I mean, this is part of what we did is, we've actually have started or in the process of starting a 501c3 nonprofit called Stand With Warriors. So if you saw the video we just played, that was on there. So it's standwithwarriors.org. So if you're watching and you're in the military, you're in the same boat, like you can go there right now and ask for help. And so Davis was on Tucker on Monday. Pastor Jeff was on John Solomon's podcast Monday morning. And we put up the website that day. And keep in mind, this is 3 days after we met. Put the website up. And quickly. The next morning, we had 100 emails. And it's just growing like crazy. So
I had emails to us to Apologia too.
Oh really? Mm-hmm. Just send them to that website then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and then it's just been crazy. So praise God. So Davis, I'll let you get into kind of the nitty gritty details on what's going on because you do a much better job of explaining it than I do.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a lot going on, but the big thing that I think helps understand this is the military has rolled out arbitrary deadlines for the vaccine mandate. What does that mean? What are we talking about? There is a lot of confusion in the military about what's going on and why the deadlines are the way they are. So my clients, and that's how I'm going to speak about this. I'm going to talk about my clients and what they're experiencing particularly. But my clients have been asking for months for guidance from the Navy, from their chain of command, from leadership on what's going on? Will there be a mandate and how to apply for medical and religious accommodations, right? And that's really the heart of this for my clients, for the Navy SEALs and the fighter pilots that I'm representing. It's about their Christian faith. But anyway, they've been asking for guidance for month after month. And what my clients have experienced is there's been no clear guidance. It's been hold fire, wait till we get guidance. And then all of a sudden, without a warno, our clients started getting Navy page 13s, which is essentially a counseling statement. It can be adverse. It doesn't have to be. It said they had a very limited window to respond. And they had to decide within less than 2 weeks whether or not they were going to ask for an exemption. They were going to take the vaccine. But they were told, and this is happening across the military, I'm talking to Marine Corps fighter pilots, Army commanders, Air Force fighter pilots that are being told, if you ask for an exemption, whether it's medical or religious, you will lose the ability to deploy. And that likely means you will lose your position as a SEAL or as a pilot. And essentially, they're being told you're on your way out of the military. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more background we've learned. But that's kind of the entry point is our biggest concern right now for our guys is they've been given arbitrary deadlines, short notice, and they need more time. They need more time to figure out what they're going to do to draft meaningful, powerful religious accommodations that comply with the law and to understand whether or not these orders they're getting are even lawful. So exactly. That's what I'm looking at for my clients. That's what we're working on, right?
Yep. Thank you. I was going to bring up the big question is, cause I just saw a comment. Someone said this doesn't mess with their religion and all that. But the question is right now we're asking is this a lawful order? So can you maybe explain to people, because you had to explain that to us last week. So explain to people that don't understand what that means.
Right. So I don't represent any clients yet, and I'm not saying that this is or is not a lawful order. The problem is that's a complicated question, especially when you start talking about vaccines. because we're talking about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act plays a large part in this. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act plays a large part in this. And so there's really specific standards that my clients have to work through and try to determine whether or not they should apply for religious accommodation, whether or not they're qualified, or whether or not this order is even lawful in the first place. So again, my clients are asking me to explore that issue, do the research. There's a couple of different things to think about. In order for an order to be lawful, it has to be for a military purpose, essentially a military necessity. That's part of it. There's a lot of detailed case law we don't have to go into, but that's part of it. Is it related to military service? Is it tied to a military necessity to the military mission? So for a long time, our courts have held military members accountable for obeying unlawful orders. In other words, a military member, an individual military member, like our clients, my clients, is given an order, and that's not a lawful order. They're expected and they're trained to ask questions, to push back and say, can you repeat that order? Can you clarify that order? I have concerns about the lawfulness of that order that I want to explain before we execute the order. Because in military case law, if you're sitting in court-martial, obeying a lawful order essentially looks like self-defense, right? Like, you might think of it like self-defense. It's essentially an affirmative defense. I followed that order because, you know, I didn't follow that order because I believed it was unlawful, right? And there was a reason for it. So that's what we're looking at. There's a lot of research that goes into that. And again, it's hard to capture how difficult it is for individual military members who are not being given clear guidance. Our clients are not being given clear guidance. Our clients are not being given access to military attorneys that represent them. I have clients that are being told, well, you can choose to follow the order or not. The military attorneys that work for the military think this is a lawful order. So disobey it. And if you are in trouble, you're facing court martial or something else, then we'll provide a lawyer for you. So that's about where we're at.
Well, I was just going to ask, what is being disobedient in this way kind of look like? What are some of the penalties?
Good question.
Like, what happens? Because a lot of people are like, well, I'm losing my job. Is it kind of just a matter of that, or is there more?
Wow. Yeah. So there's like layers.
Yeah.
So to keep it simple, I would say first, critically, our clients, these Navy SEALs, these fighter pilots, are being told, regardless of the lawfulness of the order or not, if you ask for an exemption, if you exercise your legal right to ask for a medical or religious accommodation, you're likely going to lose your job. Meaning, when we say that, I mean, you're not going to be able to fly a plane anymore. You won't be deployable. Navy SEALs are being told they'll be removed from their position. So that's just step one. That's if you decide, hey, I want to challenge the lawfulness of this order. That's only from a perspective of, if I ask for something I'm entitled to legally, which is an accommodation, what's going to happen to my career? So that's one phase. As we move forward, if there are individual military members, if any of our clients decide, hey, we want to challenge the lawfulness of the order, the disadvantage for military members is the military will take adverse action, and then you raise the lawfulness of the order as self-defense, essentially. So that's the tough decision my clients have to make. So what are the penalties? I think a lot of military members are going to be dealing with two things. One is they'll get some sort of adverse military action. That could be punishment pursuant to what the military calls Article 15. Think of that in terms of extra duties, paying fines, having your rank reduced, so being lowered in military rank or being restricted to the limits of a military installation. Those are the things that can come from an Article 15. They call it non-judicial punishment. In addition to that, a lot of my clients are being told if they go down that route, then they will be separated from the military. And there's no clear guidance from the military yet what that looks like. Many, many clients are facing the possibility of what's called an other than honorable conditions discharge, an OTH. That means they're essentially standing to lose all their VA benefits. Potentially VA disability, VA medical care, they're losing the GI Bill, they're even losing a VA home loan. If I have a client that gets out of the military with an OTH, all of those things are a possibility. Worst case scenario, if we want to talk worst case scenario, my clients are looking at the possibility of court-martial. That's a possibility, and that's happened in the past for similar issues. So there is a possibility that some people who choose not to follow this order in the military will be facing court-martial, and then you're talking about the potential of jail time as well as being separated with a dishonorable discharge. Hmm.
Thank you, brother, for clarifying that. I'm reading some of the comments here.
Yeah.
I mean, someone said, stick to the gospel apology, and it's like, well, this actually is a gospel issue, which we're going to get to, right. So just absolutely. Sit tight, friend. We'll get to that in a second. I want, before we get there, I wanted you to speak about military readiness, because this is huge. This is right. Ginormous, and I want to make sure this isn't overlooked. You know, if we have, hundreds of SEALs, I can say that confidently, hundreds of SEALs absolutely. Saying I'm not getting poked. And that's just the SEALs. But I think what we're discovering is it seems to be a pretty standard percentage military wide. So 20-30%, say, of the military saying I'm not going to do this. You know, that affects National Guard, that affects Army, Marine, like everybody. And so that leaves our nation in a really bad spot if the military is saying, okay, well, we'll just go on without you. If you're missing 30% of our forces, that's significant. So, Davis, I don't want to miss that. So I want to hear your take on that.
Yeah, so I think that's a huge issue. And I will tell you, that's one of the primary concerns my clients have consistently raised to me. And part of the reason why my clients and the guys that you met, as well as others, even came to us in the first place. These guys are sincerely worried about the impact that these arbitrary deadlines and this rollout of the deadlines is having on the military. So I don't want to sensationalize anything, but I can tell you on behalf of my clients, I've talked to a military defense attorney who has a connection to the California National Guard. The latest number he's heard is there are over 500 that are potentially in the queue to be administratively separated from the California National Guard. Why do I throw out that number? In order to do that, if that number is accurate, the California National Guard would have to hold administrative separation boards. On average, those for, if we're talking Army, Air Force takes longer to do them, right? When we talk about differences in service, but we're talking Army, we're talking about a full day typically for an administrative separation board for a military member. So start to do the math. And if that number were accurate, just in California, that would be 500 days that it would take to do the separation boards for those military members. So you're talking JAGs, you're talking three officers or senior enlisted personnel for each board. You have to have members that are not conflicted. So you're talking about a huge expense and a huge effort just to do those administrative separation boards. That's just in California. I've heard similar numbers out of Michigan. I've heard similar numbers out of Pennsylvania. So again, I don't want to sensationalize it, but if we start to look across the formation, across active guard and reserve, what my clients have been hearing, what my clients are telling me, what I'm hearing from other attorneys that are representing clients is that is a shared concern. Their clients are telling them this will impact readiness based just on sheer numbers. And I will agree, what I'm seeing from my clients is a 20-25% number as of yesterday is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Say one more thing too, because someone said stop promoting anti-vaccine stuff. Like, we've never ever said that we're anti-vaccine. We've intentionally stayed away from this conversation. I get people honestly all the time that are like, want us to preach anti-vaccine because of aborted fetal cells, and we've intentionally stayed away from that. This isn't an anti-vaccine thing. This is an anti-tyranny thing. This is the government telling you what you have to do with your body. This is the government stepping outside of their sphere, their God-ordained sphere of government, outside of their role of Romans 13 to be the avenger of evildoers and to protect the good. This is tyranny. That's all that this is. And this is where it brings it to the gospel issue. These men that we met with last week, I can tell you, were such an incredible blessing and encouragement to me. I'm sure Davis can echo that as well. These are not just Navy SEALs that we're talking with. These are men that are faithful Christians that love Christ, that love the gospel, and they're willing to stand on those principles, those biblical principles first. They swore an oath to the Constitution, and they're willing to stand up for that, even if that means losing their job. And a number of them, man, I just can't tell you how blessed we were. A number of them were like, I'm going to be martyred. My job, I'm going to be martyred as a SEAL. Like, I don't care, because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than my job. It's bigger than the Trident. This is about principles. This is about the Constitution. This is about fighting tyranny. And it was such a blessing. And as we're saying, this is much bigger than we even realized initially, and it's continuing to grow. And I would be remiss if I didn't sit here today and say that this is about the gospel and about Christ. And these men love Jesus dearly, and they want that to be forefront. And Davis said that on Tucker. I know he was on some other interviews where they cut that out. But it's very important to us. It's very important to the men, which, by the way, SEALs by nature are not in the public eye. They intentionally stay out of the public. They don't want their names and their faces out there, because that's not how they operate. So they all unanimously said that Pastor Jeff was the spokesman. So if it's not coming from Pastor Jeff or Apologia or Davis, like, it's, don't believe it, because we're speaking for them. And that was what was most important to them, that they want everyone to know this is about the gospel.
Right. And I will say this on the, just to back up a little, if I can, to touch on the issue of anti-vax and all of that. I can tell you, I'm not representing a single client that is anti-vax as a political position or anything else. That's not where they're coming from on this. One issue that's, I think, finally gaining traction and has people asking questions is, in the past for vaccines, the military has always recognized, or at least for a long time, has recognized in written guidance and regulations and military instructions, that natural immunity is a reason to exempt someone from a vaccine. In other words, if you had a military physician that tested you, you had the positive serology, and so you had immunity to a virus or to a disease, then that military would say, hey, we'll recognize that as a reason not to have to get the vaccine. In writing, I've seen it. You've seen it, brother. In writing, what's coming out, what is being handed to my clients, are orders and guidance that says serology, natural immunity, is not being recognized for this vaccine. Whether you have natural immunity or not, that is not a factor for my clients in whether or not they're able to continue to do their job and deploy, and whether or not they have to get the vaccine. So, I mean, I think that's a crucial point, because I think it's fair to ask, what is different about this vaccine? Why? I think my clients have a right to ask that question when we talk about something there's no long-term safety studies on, no 5 to 10 year studies, because it's new, right? Just by virtue of the fact that it's new, I think it's reasonable for them to ask questions and ask for time to work through these issues. And again, my clients are not anti-vaccine as an agenda, but they do want to have their question answered, and they want to have time to answer those questions and ask.
Well, we lost you. We lost your audio there, Davis.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there you are. We're back.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And so the last point I'll make on that, if you can hear me, I hope I was able to make that last point well. But the other thing I will say is this: my clients have a right to ask from a military readiness perspective.
Yep.
If my clients are being told the reason you have to get this vaccine is because of health and safety risk to the military, to you and to other military members, and if my clients are being told you're not going to be able to deploy or do your job if you don't get the vaccine, then I think it's right and reasonable for me to ask the question on behalf of my clients. But if they have natural immunity, and if I'm not a doctor, I'm not a virologist, but if the studies that are coming out that are showing, even from the NIH and the CDC, that natural immunity is very effective, perhaps more effective than the vaccine itself, why isn't that being recognized as a medical exemption in this case? And what is the impact on readiness? What's the negative impact on readiness if my clients have something that protects them better than the vaccine itself? That's a concern that my clients have, and I think it's a reasonable question to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought I was going to get better. Along those lines, because I don't want to lose this point, because I saw someone in the comments said that there's been few side effects, which is just absolutely false. You know, a number of these guys have already had it, like you said, Davis. A number have already had it. They already have the natural immunity. And I think I saw an interview today, and don't quote me on this because I don't want to get it wrong, but if I remember correctly, they said that 20 SEALs essentially over the last year and a half had died with COVID. I'm going to say with COVID, not because of. And since the vaccines have come out, I think I saw that like 80 of them already have adverse effects. You know, and these are guys, like, these are like our top warriors, not just right. like right now, but like of all time,
yeah,
like ever, mm-hmm. you know, like these are the most healthiest dudes you could ever have in your entire, like in the history
they
of the world.
All right.
Yeah. And they were fine. And now all of a sudden they're having all these adverse effects. And so like it is reasonable to say, hey, I already had it. This vaccine is actually going to make it worse for me. It's going to cause me to have, you know, issues where I'm not going to be able to do my job.
Right.
And I think, like you said, Davis, that's absolutely reasonable to ask for that. And this is where, like, it's tyrannical for these guys to just say, the top down, just say, I don't care. You're getting it regardless, you know. Right. So you were going to say something.
Well, I just think that's I know you said you don't want to sensationalize anything, but it is just seems so crazy that basically it's just an issue of, like, well, we're giving you a command. We don't care if it's lawful or not.
Yeah.
And just keeping in mind what the military does.
Yeah.
And its function and its the privileges that you have, you know, it just the power that you have, sort of the authority that the military has. It should be pretty alarming that yeah. this particular population would not wonder, they would not be concerned
right.
if it's lawful or not. And if anything, that should be what we want in our
yeah,
military
absolutely.
Is a military that is first and foremost concerned about following lawful commands and certainly concerned about not following unlawful
yep.
commands.
Exactly.
Because it's different. They're not totally, military personnel are not like civilians. And I don't know, maybe people think it's kind of the same, but like a command is something that you're supposed to do and it's not like a mandate. So could you explain maybe some of the differences of just what's expected of, someone in the military who's given a command? Like you said, it's kind of a process to not obey a command.
Yeah, so, and I think that's fair to ask, and I think it's going to be a common question people have, right? You're in the military. If you're told to jump, your only response is supposed to be, how high, sir? How
mm-hmm.
high?
Right.
And I think that's reasonable. However, we also have to recognize that our military, and my clients recognize this, is unique in world history, right?
Yeah.
So my clients are students of the Constitution. They're students of history. Unique in history is the fact that our military members swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And why does that matter? Why does that matter to my clients? Look, you know, look at history. Normally, a military oath was to swear fidelity or allegiance to an emperor, to a particular political leader, right? Not to, or even a state as a sort of entity, right? As an entity all to itself, rather than to law, right? Law based on the Constitution. And so my clients look at that and understand that, and they recognize that principle. So that oath is, you're swearing an oath to support and defend the Constitution. So it is expected under the law for military members to be considering the lawfulness of orders as they execute their job. And to be clear, when we're talking about my clients that are fighter pilots, that are Navy SEALs, they're asked to make decisions like that in the fight, in the battle. They're
right.
given orders. And if they have concerns that an order to, you know, fire weapons, go weapons hot, drop a bomb is going to impact or endanger civilians, or there's an error in transmission or something else, they're trained. My clients are trained every day to be prepared to say, stand by, can you repeat that order? So yes, normally we execute orders very quickly in the military,
mm-hmm.
but my clients are also trained, hold on. If you're given an order that you have questions about, pause and ask for clarification. Repeat that last order. Can you clarify? Can you clarify the coordinates? And that's something that's ingrained in them. Mm-hmm. And so now, how does that translate to a situation where we're talking about a mandate for a vaccine? I think it translates well because this is not combat. We're not talking about a situation where my clients are being asked to fire on the enemy or not, or make a split second decision about whether or not an order they're being given is lawful. What we're seeing, and my clients believe, is this is an arbitrary order, arbitrary deadlines.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden, after my clients ask for guidance for months and months, are they now being rushed to make critical decisions and to address this order? And so initially, and I want to be clear about this, initially what my clients are asking for is more time. More time to understand the order, the impact it's going to have on them and others. And some of my clients are in leadership positions.
Yep.
Some of my clients are expected to carry out this order. In other words, to discipline people that work for them if the order is not followed. And that's critical in this piece because they're in a leadership position and that's they have to ask that question. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you that for clarifying that. And somebody corrected me in there. It was when I said 20 SEALs, I meant 20 military total. I think someone said 35 total in all of the armed forces that died with COVID. I misspoke. So thank you for that correction. I'm just watching some of these comments here. They're just crazy. Another good point to bring up, and I know we've kind of danced around this a little bit, but going back to the vaccine thing, like obviously, you know, these guys have been poked with needles more times than they can count. They've been vaccinated for who knows what kind of things, you know. And the difference, I think, between that and Davis, because Davis, I want to mention, he didn't say this, he's in the same boat as everyone else. He's had the same mandate. So, like,
right.
He's not, like, he's speaking, like, out of, he has skin in the game, right? So the difference between, like, a lot of these other vaccines and this one specifically is a lot of these others, you know, like smallpox, and I saw some of the anthrax, like, all these things, like, they're proven to be safe. We know what they're going to do. The problem with this one is it's been kicked out so fast. It's basically people are guinea pigs. No one knows what's going to happen. It's like comparing apples and oranges, essentially, because it's not the same as all these other vaccines that they've gotten, malaria, you name it. And obviously the number of people that have died from this new vaccine is crazy. I don't know the exact numbers. It's a lot compared to other vaccines that they've shut down when just a handful of people have died. It's in the thousands people are dying. There's absolutely reason to question whether or not this is safe for these men that are willing to take a bullet for our nation.
Yeah, and my clients, you met these guys. My clients are asking that exact question.
Yeah.
Another question that they're asking is, if the information that seems to be coming out now that there are breakthrough cases, as well as individuals who've been vaccinated and are shedding or spreading this asymptomatically. And again, I'm not an expert, but these are the questions my clients are asking and want to know based on new information that seems to be changing every couple of days. New information is coming out. So I think it's fair for my clients to ask the question, if I have natural immunity, if I've already had this, and recovered, and everything seems to indicate I have a high level of natural immunity, aren't I putting myself and others at risk by taking a vaccine that could cause me to spread this asymptomatically because of the higher viral loads? And again, you and I, we're not medical experts, but I think our clients are smart, highly educated military members who can read, and they can read these studies, and that's what they're seeing. And again, that's part of why they're asking these questions and asking for more time.
Exactly. I just saw someone else said tyranny is when the government pulls guns on you. Nah, tyranny starts way before that.
That's a really bad definition.
If you're waiting for that, for there to be tyranny, it's way too late. Maybe you haven't seen what's going on in Australia. Maybe you haven't watched that because there's riots down there right now. People have had enough. You're allowed 1 hour a day outside of your home. And if you're out longer than that, guess what they're doing? They're showing up with a gun and telling you to go home or telling you to get the vaccine. So like, they're quite a bit ahead of us, but like, if you're defining tyranny as that, like, it's way too late. And this absolutely is tyranny. Like I said earlier, I would define tyranny as when the government steps outside of their God-ordained roles, the God-ordained spheres of government, and tells you what you should and should not do when it's not their business. That is the definition of tyranny.
Well, and just to be clear, they're militarizing that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you think that tyranny is opening your front door and there's guns pointed at you, who do you think is pointing those guns?
Right.
State and federal personnel of some kind, right? So when you see the government saying to the military that their arm of protection, you see them saying, we don't care if it's lawful, do it.
Right.
That we're already farther than you think.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly right. That's exactly right. Anything else you want to add to that, Davis? I know you probably got to get going here pretty quick.
I do have to get going. And I will just say again, I said it earlier and I'll repeat it. Like, I don't want this to sound sensational. I'm trying to represent my clients as best, to the best of my ability. But I think it's important for people to understand those things that you're saying about the way this order is coming down. That's what's happening to my client and other military members. My clients are seeing commanders walk in the room and saying, just get this done.
Yeah.
Just do this. I have talked to chaplains in the military. My clients have talked to chaplains in the military that are saying the guidance they're being given is, if someone comes to you and says, I have a religious accommodation, and I just found this out today. If someone comes to you and says they have a religious accommodation, ask them political questions first. As a chaplain, ask them political questions first. And as you ask them those political questions, take note that when this individual came in for their meeting with you, they started talking politics first. In other words, these chaplains are being given guidance. I learned this from my clients. They're being given guidance to ask political questions first and then document that as if it was the military member that was trying to make this a political rather than a religious issue.
Yeah.
That's troubling for my clients to be hearing things like that. And it's concerning. And again, you met these guys. They don't want to be famous. They're quite professionals. They just want to get the word out and try to get help for those military members that don't have the visibility or the platform that a Navy SEAL or a fighter pilot might have. And that's part of what they've asked me to do, is help get this word out so that people can look at this issue, and hopefully we can get more time for military members across the board.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. So, like I mentioned, you can go to standwithwarriors.org if you're in the military, you need help, or if you want to donate to, we've made this so that people can donate money for these guys, for our men and women, actually, to be able to get the legal help that they need. And so Davis is, he's a big part of that. So any other way you want people to contact you, or just through that for right now?
Standwithwarriors.org is absolutely the best way, just based on the sheer numbers we're getting. And the other piece, and I know you guys will probably talk about this, but you know, my clients feel that part of their strategy should be to be contacting Congress, to be contacting governors, and absolutely asking for help. So as things develop, standwithwarriors.org is going to have that information, how to do that, and where to go to get the information on who your representatives are.
Thank you. I forgot about that.
Anybody that wants to help, definitely look for those resources.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me. It's literally we're like adding pieces to the website every day. So, yes, that is there is a form on there actually that you could, an example of what you can send to your congressman. So. Thank you again, brother. I know you got to go. You got a lot going on, and I'm looking forward to seeing how God uses this and working together for more.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
All right, you too. God bless. He's a good dude. I do want to mention too, I don't know if it's up now, but we can send it to people. Because we've had a lot of military contact us and just say like, hey, I just want the religious exemption. Even if the religious exemption doesn't get them anywhere, because like with the SEALs, like it'll get them a desk job essentially.
Right.
But some guys are saying, I just want the religious exemption, and we've made that available. So if you need that, you can contact us, and we have one through Stand With Warriors. We'll get you. And someone else brought up a good point here, and thank you, Jay Wright. Thank you. Another good definition of tyranny is rebelling against the law of the land. And that would be the Constitution. So Lex Rex, the law is king. And so a lot of these guys are saying, hey, like, I made an oath to the Constitution. You know, what you're asking me to do violates the Constitution.
If there is anyone that should be asking these questions, it is people who are in the military. Like he said, they're specifically trained to ask the question.
Yeah.
Is this lawful?
Yeah.
Does this protect the Constitution?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And again, I saw another comment. Again, brother, like, this absolutely is a gospel issue. We can't separate the gospel from politics. Politics is nothing more than legislated morality. That's what politics is. That's the definition of politics. It's legislated morality. The question is not, are we going to legislate morality, but whose morality are we going to legislate? This absolutely is a gospel issue. I'm sorry if you feel that way. You maybe not have been watching us very often, but we are always talking about political things because it's more, it's an issue of morality. And so I think I've made a strong case that this is a gospel issue. This isn't just politics.
Yeah. Well, and we have, you know, we have an entire body of work
right
in this podcast doing that as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so there's one other thing I want to mention. And then what I'm going to do, actually, when we're going to close this out, and then Pastor Jeff did a 20-minute-ish kind of emergency video on Monday that really explained a lot of this in depth as the spokesman for these men. And I want to make sure that that gets double exposure. I want to make sure that everyone has seen that and or heard that through the podcast. So what we're going to do, I'm going to close this out in a minute, and then we're just going to tag that on to the end of this episode, so make sure everyone sees that because it's really important. But one other thing I want to mention, I think this is this is much bigger than just, do I get the vaccine or not? One question I asked these guys, because I've heard stories, I've heard some video clips, the last 6 months or to year of, basically our military being, partaking in woke training, stuff like that, you know? And I was just kind of like, I heard it and I was like, are they serious? Like, this is ridiculous. And, so I just asked these guys when we were meeting, I said, just curious, cause I feel like this goes hand in hand. I'm like, have you guys received woke training? And they're like, oh yeah, absolutely. So these are our Navy, our best warriors. They're having to go through training, teaching them to be woke, teaching them that, you know, that, being white is, is the same as, you know, being a Nazi or something, like, you know, this whole thing of whiteness, And these guys, you know, they just straight up said, like, they had to do transgender training, then they had to do the woke training, and now this. And, you know, they said when we had to go through that initial training, like, that's when we knew they were out for Christians.
Right.
You know, so the military is actively trying to remove Christians from the military and basically saying that Christians are terrorists. That's essentially what this training is doing. And
even though they want to hold on to people who won't question lawless right. commands.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was really, I mean, that hit me hard when I heard that. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. I hate it, but it makes sense. Yeah. And this is just part of that. This isn't a standalone thing. It's part of a bigger picture. And that's why it's so important that we help these guys stand up against tyranny, against unlawful orders, help them fulfill their oath to defend the Constitution. It is much bigger than them. And so, yes, I just wanted to make sure I shared that because I was very shocked to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Pray for them. Pray for their wives.
Yes. No, that's, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We actually met some of their wives.
Okay.
You know, a lot of these guys we met with are young dudes. Some of them are older and have been around a while, but a lot of them are young dudes. A lot of them aren't married, but some of them mm-hmm. are married. They're, you know, have young wives and young right. children.
I mean, and really a lot of, you're talking about people who, well, you know, some people make the decision to join the military just for the benefits or to have tuition paid for and things like that. Or
right.
even, as he said, home loans, VA home loans.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So you're not talking about just, these men are making a principled decision that they know is going to affect their wives and
yeah.
their children, but they know they have to make.
Yeah, exactly.
The principled decision.
Exactly right.
But that's hard. That's difficult. I mean, I'm not a man. So I don't lead a household.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine that it's probably heartbreaking.
Yeah. You know? No, I'm glad you mentioned that. And we were able to meet a bunch of their wives. Christine came with us, which was really encouraging for them. And yeah, so please be praying for these guys, for them and their families, that God will protect them. You know, not just these SEALs. Again, it's much bigger than that. And they're under a lot of pressure and they're in a really difficult position. So again, and someone just asked me your giving religious exemption based on what scripture. We're closing this out, so I don't have time to get into that. You can go to apologiachurch.com, look under resource tabs. We have a whole statement up there that lists plenty of scriptural reasons. We're going to also be having that up, basically the same thing tweaked for the military, up on samwithwarriors.org. And actually, Dr. White, Pastor James, wrote an extensive 7-page document. It's thorough. And it was edited.
So everything he does.
Yeah.
It's thorough.
And it was edited by Douglas Wilson and Joe Boo. Okay.
All right.
So well, we got some big brains on that document. It's thorough and it goes through it all. There's plenty of scriptural backing in that. So be watching for that. It's not up yet. It will be going up hopefully the next day or two. We're trying to do a couple of things with it first. So anyways, thank you again, everyone, for watching. I know this is kind of an unusual thing that we do, but it's huge and important, and God's like literally thrust us into the middle of it. We have no doubt that he's up to something big. Right. And I'll just end with this. You know, we look at these guys as like the last line of defense for tyranny. If the government can, you know, go full tyranny on them, then
well, they're the
rest of us are screwed.
They're the ones that the government is going to tell
yeah
to enact
exactly
their
exactly right
out on us.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So yeah.
So anyways, thank you again, everyone, for your support as always. We can't do this without you guys. Without all access, you can go there, sign up, apologiastudios.com. Get your free account for
Bonds
and
you. Add something
yes,
to
go
what
for
I
it.
Just said, unless they're stopped.
Thank you.
I don't want to just like throw all the military under the bus, but
yep.
We can
thank
stop
you.
This. Sorry.
No, you're good. I appreciate that. Also, you can go to End Abortion Now, help support our efforts to end abortion there. Like I mentioned, Pastor Jeff and Dennis Sarfate, Zach Lautenschlager, they're headed to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania right now. We have the rally to end abortion on Saturday in Harrisburg. I think it's at 10 a.m. if I remember correctly. I'm starting to lose my voice. I am fired up today. Obviously, we're trying to do that, so you can help support that as well. And I think that's it. So I'm gonna end it here, and then, like I said, we're going to tag on the video Pastor Jeff did here at the end. So God bless you all. Thank you so much. Joy.
See ya.
Peace out.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Pastor Jeff Durbin. I'm with Apologia Church in Arizona. Thank you so much for watching this breaking news show tonight. Very important things I have to share with you. Many of you guys know me as Pastor of Apologia Church. We have many ministries like endabortionnow.com and things like that that deal in the area of cultural engagement and bringing the gospel into very difficult places and into the public square. I wanted to report to you all what some of you may have already seen today, that I broke a story today about my counseling and ministering to a significant number of United States Navy SEALs who are Christians. They have very strong commitments to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the law of God, and to the command to love their neighbors as they love themselves. They are committed to the biblical principle of the preservation of human life, and these are Navy SEALs who are resisting the vaccine mandate. Now, as of right now, there are hundreds of United States Navy SEALs, our most important warriors, one of the most significant fighting forces in the history of the world. There are hundreds of United States Navy SEALs who are opposed to the mandatory vaccine, resisting the vaccine. Many of these SEALs have actually already had COVID and recovered from it, and they have natural immunity, and this is their essential story. Right now, they're being told that they need to get the vaccine or they are going to be non-deployable. They will not be able to deploy as Navy SEALs, which means in resisting getting this experimental vaccine, they will no longer be Navy SEALs. That's a situation that they're being put into right now. And what's important to note about this at the start, I want to make sure that I'm expressing what they're going through in a fully accurate way. These are United States Navy SEALs. These are disciplined men. These are strong men. These are critically thinking men. We need that in them. And these are men who are silent professionals. That means that these men do not want the limelight. They don't want the spotlight on them at all. They do not want to come out publicly and use the trident for any personal gain. These are men that ultimately, and this sounds odd in terms of talking about the best warriors in the world, they can't speak for themselves. And so I am speaking on their behalf. I've been counseling and ministering to a number of these United States Navy SEALs who, again, are Christians. And these are men who have committed to lay their lives down for your family and mine, for our safety. These men represent the very tip of the spear. And in this particular fight, they represent the tip of the spear in one of the most important fights that's probably affecting your family right now, this nationally mandated vaccine and this federally mandated vaccine, even for the military. And it's important for you to know, as I explain to you what they're going through, it's important for you to hear from me that these men do not represent a group of men within the Navy SEALs who are anti-vaxxers or anything like that at all. No matter how the leftist media tries to spin this, they are not anti-vaxxers. These are United States Navy SEALs. And anybody who's been in the military knows that you will often go down a line getting hit with vaccines. Now, the difference between that situation and what they're facing right now is that this particular vaccine is new. It has no long-term safety data, and that's an irrefutable fact, an undeniable fact, because it's new. We just got it. So there's no long-term safety data. And anybody can read the documents, the hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents that are coming out on a regular basis from solid scientists and reputable people, even in government, that will tell you that the short-term data that's coming from this vaccine is actually pretty alarming. There are a number of people who have been harmed from this vaccine or even killed. And these Navy SEALs, again, they've been vaccinated up and down. But the difference between that, the long-term safety data vaccines, and this, the difference is stark. And these men are strong men, critically thinking men, and they're warriors, and they're disciplined men, and they're committed men, and they're consistent men in many respects. And in this case, they see this as Christian men, the men that I'm speaking on behalf of. They see this as Christian men, as a violation of their commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as ultimate. And this is really important because these men represent very, very disciplined men who respect their chain of command. They do. They truly do. They want no attention, and they honestly can't even appeal for help because they're the silent professionals. These men represent the most disciplined kind of men who respect their government and their chain of command. They have honor for their government, and of course they would. These are the men that go into battle when their government tells them to do it. They go in front of bullets for your sake and for mine when their government tells them to. You can't get a more disciplined man than that. You can't get a more respectful man than that. However, in this case, these Christian men recognize a very important fact, that if no transcendent law is recognized above the state, then the state has become God, and they can't abide by that. These are men who are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ as ultimate. They honor their country, they honor their president, they honor our form of government, but they recognize that there's only one king, Jesus, and that's where these men stand. So they have a commitment first and foremost to the Lordship of Christ, to the kingship of Christ, to the ultimacy of Christ, and with that, God's law word, his word as supreme and his law as supreme. They view, as the historic Christian tradition does, this perspective that's being handed down now through the lens of Lex Rex. It's the historic Christian position on the law of God as ultimate. Lex Rex is ultimately this: the law is king. It is not the king is law. It is that the law is king. Ultimately, that God's divine word, his law word, is ultimate. And these men took an oath before God and their countrymen. They raised their hand to God as a way of essentially saying, God, view this and remember this, swearing an oath to God that they would uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. There are principles there that are straight from Scripture: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That comes from the Christian worldview. These are Christian men, consistent Christian men, who not only have an allegiance to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but to the law word of God. And these men know their history. They know where we've come from, and they know how we got the laws of this nation. They know that it was the Christian worldview and biblical principles that actually gave rise to this grand experiment. When they raised their hand as an oath to God, they swore an oath to something that was entirely meaningful to them. That oath meant something because it represented truths that they're committed to because of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because of their Christian commitments, that oath was meaningful. And brothers and sisters, I can say this on behalf of them, they meant it when they swore that oath. They're also committed to the command of Christ, his second greatest commandment. The first is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That goes to their allegiance to Christ. The second commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And these men, these Christian Navy SEALs, they recognize that love for neighbor demands that you hold to the preservation of human life. That is a biblical principle through God's law word from beginning to end, the preservation of human life. And so these men are not just simply concerned for themselves in terms of taking an experimental vaccine with no long-term safety data. They're concerned for their families, and they're concerned for their countrymen. They're concerned for the community around them that they took an oath to defend. And so when they look through this as Christians, as critically thinking men, Christian men, who see the preservation of human life as premier. And brothers and sisters, I want to just ask you to think about something for a minute. These are men who have committed to lay their lives down for you and for me. That's not a theory, that's a fact. They do it. And they've demonstrated that they will do it over and over and over. They live their lives, these Christian Navy SEALs live their lives with that premierly in front of them. Preserve human life, protect the innocent. That's why they do what they do. These are their convictions. And in terms of what's being asked of them right now, they're being asked to participate in a national experiment that is ultimately, I'm saying this, unconstitutional, unlawful, and it is a national experiment that actually violates their Christian commitments to work towards the preservation of human life. They see this experimental vaccine and they say, we don't have enough time to view this, long-term data to view this. The short-term data is alarming us. We're confused, we're concerned, and they need more time. And that is where you come in, brothers and sisters. What the Navy SEALs are asking for, these Christian Navy SEALs with an allegiance to Christ as Lord, what they're asking for from their government is more time. More time so that they can actually ask questions, they can actually put forward their argumentation, they can stand on their Christian convictions. They need more time. That is to say, they need congressional support, they need Congress to step in their place and in the place of military members across all branches. This is happening, brothers and sisters, everywhere to Christians and even non-Christians and all other branches right now. There is a large number of people who are saying, no, this goes against my conscience, this goes against my convictions and my commitments. And what they need is more time. The Navy SEALs right now represent the tip of the spear in terms of fighting this fight in a way that is righteous and good and is consistent with the laws of this nation. Again, the premier thing these Navy SEALs would want you to know is this. For them, this is about Christ, this is about neighbor, and ultimately this is about the gospel itself. I'm speaking on their behalf right now. They want people to know that they believe that this nation is dealing with a problem. And the problem is not just left or right. It's not merely political and dealing with partisan politics. The issue before us in this nation is sin. The issue is sin. All of us are sinners before a holy God. All of us are rebels. We're broken. And all of that rebellion and all that sin will be seen in so many different ways in our lives and personal relationships and even in terms of government. Sometimes government tries to deify itself. Sometimes government tries to become God. Any quick look at human history will demonstrate that without question. Government often tries to become God. Just ask North Korea. Ask Stalin. Ask Pol Pot. Ask Mao. It's happened in our very recent history, actually. Government tries to become God. And the problem is human sin. We're prideful. We're rebellious. We're idolatrous. And our sin expresses itself in so many different ways. And I'm speaking again on behalf of Navy SEALs who love the Lord Jesus Christ and are committed fully to Him. And their resistance is because of their commitment to Him. They want their nation to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They want people to know the same Savior that these men know, their Lord, who gave them forgiveness and life and peace, because He is God in the flesh, who lived a perfect and sinless life, who died for sinners, and He rose again from the dead. And He calls all people to turn and to trust in Him to receive forgiveness and life and peace. That's what they would want their neighbors to know. But as a pastor, I'm saying, on top of all that good news, that one of the glories of the Christian worldview is that the Christian church becomes light to the world. We know Jesus, we're reconciled to God, we're united to Jesus, and then we become light to the world. We become salt that stops things from decaying. It's a preservative. It shines light in darkness. And the glory of the Christian worldview is that it is not just about saving us from sin, is that the goodness of Jesus Christ actually extends out into the world through His church in terms of justice, liberty, and peace that comes from His law word. And these men recognize that when we abandon the Christian worldview and the Christian roots of this nation, what's left is only tyranny. It's only totalitarianism. And so these Christian men, this significant number of Christian Navy SEALs who have a complete allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and have deep Christian commitments, they're resisting. They're resisting in ways that are extremely meaningful. Just consider this. There are so many members of the military, and I want you to know right now that we're praying for you, who are resisting and having their jobs threatened. Their careers are threatened. Their ability to feed their families, their children, are threatened right now. Many of you, nurses, doctors, hospital staff, you've already been fired. You've already quit. You've already had to walk away because you've been told to take an experimental vaccine and it goes against your conscience. So many of you are suffering right now, and I want you to know at Apologia Church, we're praying for you. We really are. So many of you guys have lost your jobs in the last couple of weeks. Some of you guys are facing the loss of your job in just the next couple of days, or maybe even by tomorrow, because of these unconstitutional mandates. We want you to know that we're praying for you too. Please pray for the Navy SEALs and support them, help them. Because these men right now are demonstrating that they're willing to go into the fight that matters the most and risk everything, to risk losing their careers, losing their status as SEALs, to once again be the tip of the spear to fight for you. I mean, this isn't about them. That's the thing that they have constantly said as I've been counseling them and ministering to them. This isn't about them. This is about their countrymen. This is about their God. This is about justice. Again, I want to reiterate, these are men who love Jesus and are fully committed to Him. And they want you to know that you can have life and peace and forgiveness in Him, and they need your prayers and support. So here's what you can do right now. This is what you can do. You can go to standwithwarriors.org, standwithwarriors.org, standwithwarriors.org. It's a site that's been set up that's going to be used to actually help to fund the legal battle that these Navy SEALs are going to have to be a part of. We have an ex-member of JAG, an attorney, who is actually working with some of these SEALs right now, who is trying to support them and trying to get them more time and trying to fight this legal battle itself. If you go to standwithwarriors.org and you get connected there and you end up giving there, that's going to go towards helping to fight the legal battle for these Navy SEALs, the fight that needs to be had. Pray for them. Now, I know you hear this often, because I recognize this in myself. You hear somebody say, contact your congressman, contact your congresswoman, contact your state legislature and demand of them that they do something about such and such a thing. Oftentimes you hear somebody say that and then nothing is ultimately done by me or by us. We just don't. Let's admit it. In this case, the implications of this mandate are so far-reaching that you will love somebody who is affected by this. You're going to love somebody, or you know somebody that's been hurt by this. Perhaps you already have been. This is going to affect so many people. And if we want to see change, number one, we need Christ. We need the gospel. We need peace with God. And number two, we need to be light. In a situation like this, we need to actually call upon God's deacon, the civil authorities and the governing authorities, and we need to say, do your job. Do your job. Protect the citizens. Uphold righteousness in this state or in this country. Protect these Navy SEALs as they are essentially engaging in this. in many ways first in terms of when the American people are really hearing about this. So let's pray for these Navy SEALs. Let's support them. Contact your congressman or congresswoman and demand of them that they do everything they can right now to support the Navy SEALs as they are ultimately trying to resist this mandate and do away with this very unconstitutional and unrighteous and unjust order. Again, go to standwithwarriors.org. All of that ultimately is going to go towards supporting our warriors, our men and women of Christian faith who are standing against this vaccine mandate. Brothers and sisters, again, pray. And we'll see you again this week.